Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We are in the middle of a wonderful series of studies on the role of the church in the community, really what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and we're discovering Christ's method for reaching people. Today, He invites people to follow Him. We want to follow His example, reaching out to our community. So I'm glad you joined us for Hope Sabbath School. And to our team, what are you learning here? Practical lessons?
Yes.
You know, it's challenging us, isn't it?
Yes.
You say, why, if we followed all that Jesus is saying, it would change everything. Mm-hmm. And the angels go, amen, right? Yeah, that's exactly what God wants for us. Not to earn the love of God or the salvation Jesus offers, but because we have a living connection with Him. That's our prayer for each one of you. And we're always so happy when you write to us, sshope@hopetv.org. Here's a note from Johanna in Tanzania. And she says, I just want to inform you that I'm very grateful for Hope Sabbath School and the mysteries that I discover through your Bible study. It's my prayer that God continues to reveal His truth through our studies and to give us confidence in the everlasting gospel to share with others. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's about not just receiving, but giving. And in this series, we've been learning Christ's method as we come alongside, we mingle with people, we desire their good, we sympathize with them, we meet their needs. And yes, we want to also earn their confidence so that we can help them to know a Savior who loves them. This is from Dwayne in the Philippines. He says, I send you this message on behalf of my beloved mother, Melanie, because we thank God for Hope Sabbath School, for the teachings we're learning. We are so blessed indeed that we found your program. My mother always watches Hope Sabbath School every week and shares the good news with the class. Our family is looking forward to the scripture songs for each series, which we sing during our family worship. Is that awesome?
Wow.
Oh, we'd like, maybe you can send us one of those little digital recordings, even a short one, and we can hear the Flores family singing scripture songs for family worship. We're blessed, delighted that God gave us a way to find Hope Sabbath School. We pray for you always that lots of people will discover God's Word. Thank you and God bless you. Well, Dwayne, thanks for writing on behalf of your beloved mother, Melanie Flores. Melanie, we're glad you and your family are part of Hope Sabbath School. And thanks for singing the scripture songs with us. Marvin writes from Zambia. Actually, he's a student at Rusangu University. He says, I thank God for each and every one of you and this power-packed program. Well, if it's power-packed, it's because what?
Holy Spirit packs
the power in. I am a Hope Sabbath School member from Monze in southern Zambia, and I enjoy watching Hope Sabbath School with my family. I even use your outlines for my class at church. So you're one of those, Marvin, who downloads the outline. I mean, that's exactly what we want you to do. Start a Sabbath School class, a house of hope in your home. Share the word that you're learning with others. It's a more interactive approach, gets all the members involved. I pray to God for your ministry to continue to touch lives. I also download the scripture songs and enjoy singing along with you. Well, Marvin, you're going to have a chance in just a minute. We're going to be singing our theme song for this series. Here's a note from Neonetta in Louisiana in the United States. Just wanted to tell you, I recently began watching Hope Sabbath School. It has definitely blessed my life.
Amen.
I truly enjoy watching the Holy Spirit working in each of you class members. And we say what?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is definitely working here. Please continue God's good work from Baton Rouge. Well, Neonetta, I believe God's doing good work in you too. And thanks for writing to us to encourage us there from Louisiana in the United States. Here's a note. You know, we are an international community. This is a South Korean working in the United Kingdom and watching Hope Sabbath School. My name's Anna, originally from South Korea, moved to the UK. Right after I graduated from high school, I taught children in a junior Sabbath school for about 10 years. Now I moved to England. I don't teach them anymore, but I joined the junior Sabbath school because of my children. I've never been able to go to an adult class in my whole life. I always wanted to join one since I really need spiritual food for my soul too. Is that right? We do. We got to feed ourselves too, right? We have to allow the Word to strengthen us. Then I found Hope Sabbath School, which became my regular Bible study. I feel very blessed. I download the podcast and listen to it 1 to 2 times every day. Well, you are ready, Anna, to teach Hope Sabbath School. If we forget something, you'll say, Derek, you forgot something there. Especially the Bible songs give me comfort when I feel discouraged. Yeah. It also helps with my English, too. God bless you and your team. Well, I just want to say God bless you. And you may know, Anna, that I was born in the UK. And I am happy to know that there is a South Korean missionary there telling people about Jesus. And we love the scripture songs, too, because they help us to hide God's word in our hearts. This theme song for our series, Psalm 92, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. We want to sing that now like we really mean it. Let's sing together. I'm looking forward to when Jesus comes. We can all gather around the throne and sing praises together. We'll probably sing in harmony and we'll praise God. We're going to praise Him right now. Here we go. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can discover how to live for you in these last days of Earth's history. The role of the church in the community to be a channel of the love of God, the blessings of God, to live like Jesus. And I pray that as we understand how to invite people to follow Jesus, that you would guide us in our study. Each Hope Sabbath School member today, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You know, if we follow Christ's method, we know that we mingle with people, we desire their good, what else do we do? We show sympathy and we meet their needs and we earn their confidence. But we recognize that we may not do that all for one person. We may just mingle and desire their good. Someone else may invite them to follow Jesus, right? Amen. Some sow, Jesus said, and others reap. So we're part of a miracle of God, but there will come a time, I think, in Christ's method when He says, I want to tell you about a Savior, and I want to invite you to accept Him so that you can be saved in His eternal kingdom. That's what we want to study about today. And we're going to start with the analogy of the good shepherd and the sheep in John chapter 10. So we're going to go to John chapter 10 and take a look at the first 5 verses. And Austin, would you begin our study today? John 10, verses 1 to 5. A wonderful story, and people think back to the ancient psalm, The Lord is my shepherd. Remember that one, Psalm 23? But here Jesus now says, that's me, I'm the good shepherd. Verses 1 to 5.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers.
Now, something very important. I want you to remember what you heard there about hearing the voice. But Andrea, if you could now read for us verses 14 and 16 of the same chapter, John 10, 14 and 16, we'll learn something else reinforcing what's just been said, and then an additional insight from the Good Shepherd.
In the New King James Version, we read, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd.
So here's the shepherd, and the shepherd is?
Jesus,
right? He says, he's speaking here, right? I am the good shepherd. And undoubtedly, as I mentioned earlier, they probably thought of the psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And many analogies in the Hebrew scriptures to the Lord as our shepherd, mm-hmm. as leading us. But let's think about the sheep for a moment. We know who the shepherd is. What do all of these sheep have in common?
They hear his voice.
They recognize it.
They recognize, because there could be a lot of people here. A wolf could hear the voice and go, I got to run. I'm going to get hit by that rod, right? So they hear the voice. They recognize it. Anything else?
Follow.
They follow the voice. Okay. So there's something that all of the sheep have in common. And at this point, probably the chosen people who were listening went, yes, 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 that's right. We're the sheep and we listen. And then comes verse 16. Did you notice what Andrea read there? What's the startling truth in verse 16?
There are sheep outside the fold that need to be brought in.
So how far outside the fold? I mean, does that mean they're not quite exactly like us, but they live very close by? Or how far away are these sheep that are not of this fold that he wants to bring? Timotel, how far away are they?
They may be near, they may be far.
When Jesus sends out his apostles, you remember Giuliani says, I want you to go start where?
Jerusalem,
and then?
You go
Judea, and
then Samaria, and then the rest of the world.
Why would we have to go to the rest of the world?
He has sheep there.
Because he has sheep there, that's right. And they will also
Hear and recognize and follow.
See? So that's a startling truth. Now, if that indeed is true, I just want to ask you so that we can make sure that we hear when Jesus calls us. Have you ever been in a crowded place and someone calls your voice, calls your name, I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe your spouse or your friend, they call out, you know, let's find a common name. Gary, that's a common name. Timotel, there are not too many of those that I know, Timotel. It's probably common somewhere, right? But Gary, you know. Gary, you're married, right?
Yeah.
So your wife, she calls Gary in a crowded place, you know, and all of the Garys start running over there, right?
No.
Well, they might turn their heads, right? Why would they turn their head?
Because it's their name.
Because it's their name, but
they don't know the voice.
Wrong. They don't know the voice, right? So a little disoriented, right? They hear, but they don't
recognize.
They don't recognize, right? And they certainly don't follow. They don't follow, right? But Gary hears, what's your wife's name, Gary?
Jessica.
So he hears Jessica's voice and he goes running, right? Yeah. So let's just think about this. I hope
forward,
that's right.
Yeah. Not away.
Forward. Oh, boy, I almost caused a family conflict there. Yes, running towards, not away. And that's a good point. Thank you. Okay, we're going to recover from this in just a minute. So let's talk about that, because I think there's a key lesson here. We're inviting people to follow Jesus, but we are not the good shepherd. We're just sheep, right? So we have to follow him ourselves. So how do we recognize, not only hear, but recognize, as Juliana said, and then just naturally want to follow, as Nicole said? How does that happen in a human relationship, that you just know it's Jessica? You
spend time with them, or, well, spend time with Jess. In my case, I mean, we have a relationship, and I can tell, you know, tone of voice and
can you tell when you're in trouble?
Yes.
Okay.
And when I'm loved. Uh-huh. But you know, you have to just spend that time, build that relationship.
Now, let's get very practical here, because I think this is a good lesson for us. When you're spending time with Jessica, she's not just calling your name, right?
Right, yeah. We're talking.
Every time you see her, she's right. Like, Gary.
Gary.
Yeah. You're like, yes. So what do you talk about?
Our day, what we've, we do activities together, things that both of us enjoyed doing, help each other out.
So let's unpack this now. You're hearing her voice. You're recognizing her voice. She's not just calling his name, right? But you have a
relationship.
You got a relationship. So when she calls you in the crowd,
I know.
You know it's her.
Yeah.
And you run.
Yes.
Or move safely, right?
Yeah.
Basically, we have to develop a deep relationship with the Lord. There is this verse that you find in Job 22, verse 21. Basically say, acquaint now with him and be at peace. So we need to know the Lord. So if we know the Lord, anytime he's going to call us, we can recognize
his voice. Well, that is so powerful. Now, if we got to recognize his voice, we got to spend time with him. And tell me how we do that, because people say, didn't he go to heaven? I mean, even if I believe Jesus existed, and by the way, there's clear evidence that Jesus did exist, right? Mm-hmm. So he came, he taught, even his enemies spoke about him, though they didn't like what he said. Mm-hmm. They said, but if I believe what the Bible says, he ascended to heaven how long ago? How many years ago was it he ascended to heaven?
2000.
Almost 2,000 years ago. So like, how in the world do I get to recognize his voice now? He went to heaven almost 2,000 years ago. Help us, someone. How do we recognize Austin?
Well, God speaks through his word. And mm-hmm. So if we read his word, then in a sense we can get to know his voice through that way. Mm-hmm.
Through the things he says?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Would it be good if a person's watching Hope Sabbath School today, they've never read the Bible, would it be good to say start with the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel story? Is that the best place to learn to recognize the voice of Jesus?
Yeah.
Or what do you think? Anybody have an opinion? Nathan, what do you think?
I think Jesus is the clearest revelation of God to us. Mm-hmm. And so start there. Start with the life of Jesus from four different perspectives, and you'll get to know Jesus. And Jesus said he came to reveal who the Father is. So that's a great place to start. Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some people I meet. I teach a class on the life of Jesus, and I have people who've grown up in a Christian home who've never read Matthew or Mark mm-hmm. or Luke or John. Wow. And you go, wait a minute, they're just four little books inspired by the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to show us the truth about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think you're right, Austin. We in the Word, we hear about Jesus, and then we learn to recognize his voice. Tricia Lee?
I agree with Nathan that the Gospels are a wonderful place to start. There, we know from history there was a time where people didn't have the Word, and there were groups of individuals who had to write down parts of the Scripture and tuck them into their clothing, and they'd share them. And so people would get pieces and portions of the Bible, not the whole Bible at once, but God works through whatever you have, and he can use any part of the Scriptures that you're able to get your hands on. So he can speak through his Word at any time, 21 of us, praise God.
And I was thinking of the Waldensians.
Yes, you know, Waldensians.
If I remember correctly, didn't the children all memorize the book of Matthew? Mm-hmm. That's got 28 chapters to it.
Wow.
That's a lot of scripture. I think some memorized John as well. But yeah, that word in our hearts. And Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would bring that to our remembrance. Right, Nicole?
I also think prayer is important, because that's how you mm-hmm. actually speak with God. So you read the word and you hear his voice, but then you pray and you ask him to open yourself and your mind and your heart to be able to listen to his voice and to be able to do what the word has told us to do.
So we're talking about inviting other people to follow Jesus, mm-hmm. but we want to make sure that we're connected, right?
Yes.
That we not only hear his voice, but Juliana, we recognize it, and Nicole.
We follow it.
Yeah, we follow it, right? We have to do that ourselves. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Now, why is it important to remember that God has many sheep? Nathan.
I think that when he says there are sheep who are not of this fold, they're not going to be acquainted with the word at first.
They may not be, right?
Yeah, but they're hearing his voice. So how does that happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that we have to recognize there may be people mm-hmm. who God is speaking to their conscience. He's troubling their spirit, whatever, but he's reaching to them. And then we can say, this is the voice that's been speaking to you. And now you can hear what he really has to say. Because I think there are people who, sometimes Christian apologists will say, those that say there can be no God because look at all the bad things that happen to good people or look at all the evil in this world. And their answer to that is the very fact that you're troubled by that, that you recognize there's a difference between good and evil, and it bothers you when evil happens, is an indication that God exists because mm-hmm. he's put that recognition, that distinction between good and evil in you, mm-hmm. and a problem exists for you that evil would you know, harm people. That is God's voice speaking to you. So we may encounter people who don't have a Christian background or even Christian leanings, but they're troubled by that. They say, why would God, if God exists, why would this happen? Your answer could be, the very fact that you're troubled by that is God's spirit speaking to you, that this isn't God's plan originally, and it won't be this way forever. And then you point them to the scripture, and you read this beautiful story about God's triumph over evil in the end, and God's inviting you to be a part of that.
And they hear and recognize they follow. I need to go on because not only does the Good Shepherd have many sheep, but he's seeking the lost ones, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's seeking the lost ones. By the way, some of the lost ones could be lost very close to home, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And some are lost in a far country. But look at a few texts with me. Luke 19 and verse 10 and Mark 1, 17. And then some instruction to Jesus to Peter in John 21, 15 through 17. Some may use a different illustration than the shepherd, but the message is still the same. So, Alex, Luke 19 and verse 10, this is the end of the Zacchaeus story.
Okay. I'll be reading from the King James Version. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
So if we were using still the Good Shepherd metaphor here, we would say he's come to seek and to save the lost sheep. Right? All right. Someone look in Mark 1, verse 17. Nathan, do you have that? Mark 1, 17.
This is from the New King James Version. Then Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're going to go back to the old metaphor of the Good Shepherd. If we're using that same metaphor, we would say Jesus says, come after me and I will make you
shepherds.
Well, maybe shepherds too, or
under shepherds.
Finders. Yeah, under shepherds is what Peter would call you, right? In his book, he says, we're under shepherds of the chief shepherd.
Yes.
Or I will make you sheep finders.
Sheep finders.
Right?
No, I said pastors, because I mean, that's what the pastoral scene is, a scene of shepherds. So the idea of being a pastor, I mean, when I went to go visit Zambia, they would call the pastor, you know, shepherd, and then the wife, the shepherdess.
Ah. Mm. So there's that metaphor of the shepherd. Mm-hmm. But if we use the analogy there, I will make you people who find lost sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use you mm-hmm. in my work. And that brings us, talking about the pastor and the shepherd, to John 21, 15 through 17. And Tricia Lee, if you could read that for us in John 21, beginning with verse 15. It's the context is Peter has denied Jesus, but Jesus in his mercy gives him another chance. Amen? Are you
Amen.
Thankful for that? Maybe a few of you here needed a second or third chance. But he's got something to say as the good shepherd to what Peter will later call himself, the under shepherd, right? What does Jesus say?
The New King James Version reads, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Yeah.
So if we're going to feed the sheep and care for the lambs, what is required in order for that to happen? What is necessary in order for that to happen, Andrea?
First of all, we need to love Jesus.
We need to
love Jesus.
Jesus, okay.
We show our love for him by how we care for,
okay.
for the fellow sheep.
Yeah, fellow sheep, right? Hey, that's where the word fellowship comes from, right? That's not true, okay? What a fellowship. Yeah, you're right. Thank you for reminding us. Sometimes we miss the obvious. It is the love for the good shepherd mm-hmm. that sends us out, right?
Yes.
Seeking the sheep. But, Missy.
We have to remember what has happened here. Peter had denied Christ before the crucifixion, and he needed to be brought back in.
Reinstated, perhaps.
And this whole process that he went through with Jesus was part of this process for him, a process of healing and a process of saying, you're mine still, you know.
Maybe that's why it was so painful.
It was painful for Peter.
It grieved him, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was necessary
yeah.
for Peter, for Jesus to remind him, I need you.
Mm. So I want to come back. I do think we need the love for the good shepherd in our hearts. But in order to feed sheep, we've got to have food, and we've got to
share.
We've got to find the sheep,
oh,
right? We've got to find them. Because didn't Timothy tell you, they're not all here, right? You said
here.
Some are near.
Some are near, some are far.
And some are far. So unless we find them, we can't feed them. Mm-hmm. But what's the food that we give them? Because we're not the...
Well, it's interesting because it's the grass that they're nibbling on. And so the sheep that are far away could be eating on something, but it's not the good grass, I guess, or the greener pasture, right? You need to lead them to where it's good for them to feed on the truth and that we know through God's word. So people, it's not that they're starving necessarily, but they're eating things that are not nourishing them because there's food, weeds and things you can nibble on wherever you are. But we want to get, like, the good nourishment that God gives it through the word.
Now, I want to stay with the metaphor of the good shepherd and we're the sheep, okay? I know we're also in some places called the under-shepherd to care for the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus sends out the 12, he says, I send you out as sheep.
Among wolves.
Among wolves. And when he sends out the 70, he says, I send you out as lambs. So they're not even as mature as sheep because the sheep have been with Jesus for quite a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 12. The 70 haven't even had that much. They're just lambs. So I want to be very practical here. What can we do to help lost sheep? We're just sheep or lambs even. Some of you might say, Derek, I'm just a lamb. You know, maybe someone watching Hope Sabbath School says, I've just been following Jesus for a few months. I'm just a lamb. Sometimes people write that to us. What can we do to help lost sheep? Juliana?
Well, what I would say is to follow the examples of the disciples, the very first disciples that came to Jesus. And in the beginning of John chapter 2, we see Andrew and we see Philip that are, you know, they get so excited. They say, we found the Messiah. And they're lambs at that point.
Sure.
And what they do is they don't try to convince the other person. They're just like, come and see. You know, follow me. I'm a lamb too. And let's go see this shepherd. I mean, what else can we really do?
That kind of can't prove it. It comes back, Andre, to what you said, that we've got to love the Good Shepherd ourselves.
Yes.
We've got to hear his voice and recognize it. And
follow.
And maybe the best thing we could do is say, I'm following the Good Shepherd. Come and see, right? Wiggle our little tail, right? Because what is the wiggling of... I know you don't have a tail. The wiggling of the little tail is a nonverbal communication, just like smiling while we're studying the Bible, saying...
I'm really excited about this,
Simon, my brother, to show you, says Andrew, come and see, right? And then Philip finds his friend Nathaniel and says, come and see, right? Philip, that's right, yeah, so I've got to know the way. I've got to hear, recognize, and follow. And I could just say, come and see. Trisha
Lee? There's also safety in numbers. So you see them, like, you know, huddling. I don't know much about sheep, but I've seen, like, television that they seem to like. They like to be together. And so when they're separate, they're vulnerable to the wolves or whoever. But they're also not very quiet, at least, on television. They're all kind of, like, talking to each other. Meh, meh. So I guess, like, that's, like, to Juliana's point. Like, they're kind of calling to each other, encouraging each other. Let's stay together. Let's stay in the fold. Let's keep eating the good grass. Bah, bah, you know.
You know, Trisha Lee's really onto something because sheep don't see that well, but they can hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to have them stay with the flock, you call out, meh, right? Meh.
He does it better than you.
They come running. I practiced that for many days. Meh. But again, back to Andrea and the love for the Good Shepherd. If I don't care about those lost sheep, mm-hmm. I'm not going to call out to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say follow. No. We read a little piece of the Zacchaeus story. He's a lost sheep, right? Is he a lost sheep?
Yeah,
he's a lost sheep. So what are some clues that there's a lost sheep, but actually they're seeking the Good Shepherd? Help me with that. Maybe some stories in the New Testament would illustrate it. People who, yeah, they're lost, and some people will just, discard them. But there's indicators that they're actually his sheep who, when they hear his voice, will recognize and follow. Let's start with Zacchaeus. You know the story in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. It's a familiar story, but maybe someone watching Hope Sabbath School today has never heard it. There's this little man who's very wealthy. Juliana, could you read the story for us?
Sure.
But I want you to look at it from not the perspective of, how Jesus welcomes him and Jesus loves all of us. We know that. That's good. That's important. But what are the actions, what are the clues that this lost sheep is really seeking the Good Shepherd?
So Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, I'm reading the New King James Version. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not, because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Or if we use the metaphor of the shepherd, the Good Shepherd has come to seek and to save
the lost sheep.
So where do you see some indications that this, we know Zacchaeus is lost, but where are the indications that he's actually seeking the Good Shepherd? And when he hears, he'll recognize and follow. Alex?
No, he's not giving lip service. He's actually willing to make change in his life. He obviously feels the need. He feels the guilt of that his life has led him to. And he calls out to the shepherd, and he also makes known that he's just, hey, I don't just want your recognition. I want to make change in my life, and I want to make wrong the things of.
And that's a really good point with the sacrifice. But even earlier than that, if we're attentive, we talked about asking questions to see where needs are, and also being observant, right? Where else do you see, Nathan, some indication that this is a lost sheep who's seeking the Good Shepherd?
I just want to point out that I think God was working on this man's heart for a long time. And in earlier in Luke, in 3, verse 12, John the Baptist is being referred to. And it says that tax collectors came to John the Baptist. Mm. And they asked, what shall we do? You know, so he's telling them, don't charge more than you should. Maybe Zacchaeus was one of those tax collectors who heard John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. We talked earlier in this series about you may not reap, you might just be sowing. So John the Baptist may have been the one that sowed the seed. He's hearing God's voice, and the shepherd's calling him. And now Jesus passes by, and he's like, it's time to respond. I want to follow that voice. So
when he climbs up the tree, that's to me a pretty good indication, right?
Yeah.
He climbed up the tree. He still looks like the rich tax collector, right? So, if I'm in a tree, so if I'm not paying attention, if I'm not prayerfully connected to the Good Shepherd, and I look, what am I going to see? I'm just going to see a rich tax collector sitting up in a tree and go, that's strange, right? I'm just not going to see it. What else do you see in the story? Before Alex mentioned willing to, you know, give half and repay where he's wrong. Where else before that do you see, wow, this seeking the Good Shepherd. Do you see another little clue there? He's up in the tree right now, Austin.
Before he was up in the tree?
While he's up in the tree, what do you see there?
Well, he's looking. He's there anticipating because he went ahead and got up in the tree. And he's there to see when Jesus passes by because he knew he was going to be passing that way.
Right. And then what happens? Where do you see, again, wow, this is a lost sheep who's seeking the Good Shepherd.
Well, when he heard his voice and Christ talked to him, it says, so he made haste and came down.
And the last little part of the verse, and he received him
joyfully.
Joyfully.
Yeah.
He's a jumping little tax collector, right? That's not very dignified, right? He doesn't care, right? Because he's a little sheep that's found, maybe just a lamb, right? I guess he is a lamb, right? Yeah. By the analogy, he's like just getting started, but he's hearing the voice and he follows. Yeah, I mean, it's just a beautiful story. I'd like you to think of some other stories, and then we need to talk about what we can do as loving the Good Shepherd. We go out seeking the lost sheep. How do we connect with them? But some other stories of lost sheep in the New Testament who you go, wow, you know, there's a lost sheep and the Good Shepherd notices.
I don't remember where, but I believe it's the Syrophoenician woman or the woman who came and wanted some crumbs. Well, that was the analogy that was used. She was talking to the Lord, but he said it's not fit to give the children's food to the dogs. And she said, well, even the dogs get the crumbs. And there was kind of some back and forth between them, but the Lord recognized her faith in that she was persistent in dealing with him. But he was just really trying to show the disciples how they treated people that were outside and how you shouldn't treat them that way and referring to them as dogs or things like that because they are seeking truth.
So you would say that the way she came, first coming, because she was not part of the children of Israel, right? She was from Syrophoenicia, showed that she was a lamb seeking the good shepherd and her persistence too. Mm-hmm. And Jesus' response, he seems to mirror the kind of prejudice of the disciples. But later he goes, woman, great is your faith, right? Mm-hmm. He's so impressed. Another story, Missy?
I think about the centurion who had a servant that was ill. And he said, I have many people who obey my voice and my command, just say the word and he will be healed. He is a sheep that was not of the fold.
Absolutely.
And on the outside, most definitely, yet he recognized divinity in Christ and had incredible faith.
Yeah, Jesus didn't find faith like that in all of Israel, right?
Yes.
So he heard and he followed. That leading was the leading of God's Spirit. Yes, Andrea.
I'm thinking of the woman at the well and how Christ saw in her a missionary, not just a lost sheep who needed a savior and a good shepherd, but also a broken soul who, from her own experience, could share what Christ has done for her.
And you know, that's a perfect sequel into the, how do we now, we're just sheep. And by the way, we've also been lost at some point, some of us, maybe some of us have grown up in the sheepfold, never left. But a few of us did some crazy excursions, right? Got lost hanging out on a thicket somewhere. And we needed someone to help us come back. Maybe the Good Shepherd carried us back. But I want to tie into your story, Andrea, of the woman at the well. Because one of the ways that we connect, I love what you said, come and see. In fact, she almost says that, doesn't she? What does this woman do? She's just a lamb, right? She's found the Good Shepherd. How does she know he's the Good Shepherd?
He's told me everything I've ever done.
Yes, and?
And Jesus said, I am the Messiah.
He said, I'm he. You know, when the Messiah comes, that's me. Right? Why is he so open with her?
She was open up to.
Yes, because she's one of his lambs. So what's the first thing that she does? We talked to Juliana earlier, right? And you're talking about the test. What is the first thing she does?
She goes to the
come see a man. Who's
yeah, she goes him. Back to all of her friends. Mm-hmm. And she says, come and see a man. I don't know very much about him. really, but he told me everything about me. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Come and see. And her little tail's wagging, little lamb, right? And they'll come out. So the power of a testimony.
Yes.
We're going to talk about testimony because I think that, I know that lambs don't talk, right? Technically, they wiggle their tails, right? But you understand what I'm saying. We have something to share. And I think our personal experience with the Good Shepherd is the most powerful witness that we have. Nathan?
I think it's interesting that Jesus said to the 12, I'm sending you as sheep, and then to the 70, I'm sending you as lambs, like you pointed out earlier. He didn't say, I'm sending you like a shepherd. You are sheep going to sheep. In other words, you're of the same. Don't forget who you are and where you've come from, and you're going to relate to them because you're also a sheep who was found. So there's the power of the testimony. Don't forget, I'm the shepherd who saved you. Now go tell other sheep, and don't forget, you know, you're on the same level as them. You're also being saved, and they need a Savior.
So.
You know, as you read the book of Acts, Saul, who later becomes Paul the Apostle, I think his testimony is recorded, is it three times? Two or three times. It's in chapter 9 and chapter 26, I know. He may have shared it shorter in another place. But so he's understood that as a sheep, probably the most powerful thing he can do is share his testimony. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you a time when someone, maybe you were lost and knew it or lost and didn't even know it, but somebody came and shared a testimony with you. A sheep came, wagging their little tail, right? And they said, let me tell you what the Good Shepherd did. And come and see. Anybody did that happen to? And you say, wow, this is what happened when they shared their story with me. You were getting a haircut, Nathan.
Yeah.
Many people don't know that story.
Okay.
But I know it because I knew you back then. tell me what happened. What was the haircut?
Well, it was a friend was giving me a haircut, and she had become a Christian, and I thought she was just a crazy Jesus freak, and she just consistently, relentlessly kept on pursuing and sharing the love of Jesus with me, and she knew I needed him because I was following another voice. I'd been involved in a New Age cult at that point. And I thought I'd found the truth. And she kept saying, no, let me show you this or let me tell you this. And she kept pointing me back to the Bible. Mm. And that's where I heard God's voice. Mm. Finally heard the true shepherd's voice. Mm. So I guess that's important for us to know, too, that people do think they're following truth sometimes. They're listening to somebody's voice. And right. Satan wants them to be deceived. So I think it's very important for us to know, to clearly know God's voice and have that very strong connection so that when he speaks through us, through our testimony, the voice will be clear to those and they can distinguish and discern truth from error.
Now, I'm going to come to Nicole next, but I just want to say the demoniac who was healed from the legion of demons and Jesus says, go back and give your testimony. Mm-hmm. How much did he know?
He wasn't a theology
He knew about
major.
His experience with Christ.
Delana, say that again.
He knew about his experience with Christ.
That's it. Yeah. He didn't know very much else, did he?
No.
You go and tell them what God has done for you. And yet there was nothing more powerful than that little lamb scurrying back. Mm-hmm. Nicole.
I was a lamb caught in the thicket. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget. I went to college. And while I was in college, I had a lot of fun, just put it that way. And I came to the area, this area to visit, and I happened to go to one of our churches, an Adventist church, and I saw someone who had gone to college with me. And I'll never forget when she said to me, I never knew who you were. And I felt so bad because I was like, wow, I could have actually been a witness where I was and I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And she made me realize that people are watching you even if you don't think they're watching you. And I really had to reconnect to Christ and say, I don't want anyone to see me in that light again where they don't know who I am.
They didn't know. Now, I want to just unpack that before we move on, because you could have just got mad and said, you're mean and rude and I'm never coming back to church.
Right.
Was there something about the way that she said that to you that enabled you to hear it, or something that was going on in your heart, or both? What do you think?
Well, she actually had not grown up as an Adventist, so she was new to the faith. And she just asked me a question, and she said to me, "You've always been Adventist. You didn't share this with me."
Ouch.
And I said, "Yeah, no, I haven't." So it was just her questioning. And it wasn't a question of, you know, you did something bad. It was just of, why didn't you share this with me? Because this is such a great thing to have. Mm. And it just made me realize that I have to live the way that I say I want people to see me.
Mm-hmm. So back to hearing and recognizing and following. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Monica.
Yeah, I was debating on whether I should share this or not, but sometimes even in our own communities, we can get caught up in things where groups are twisting the word and we become confused. And when you become confused, really think about it, because that's not God. Mm. And one of my friends had, she was using the scripture songs, you know, lean not on your own understanding or trust in the Lord with all your heart. And she was showing me that out of the mouth cannot come curses and blessings. And this is what we were hearing in this group, like somebody would, you know, curse people. Mm. And at the same time was, you know, leading out in Bible studies. And it's like, wait a minute. Mm. So yeah.
That testimony from a fellow sheep, mm-hmm. who said, there's something not right, here's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we wait and think, well, someone else can give a better testimony than me. Mm-hmm. But actually, God wants to use you, yeah. right? That was the message that your friend gave you, too. Juliana?
And I think it also is important to remember that it doesn't always have to be a dramatic testimony like Paul's. Not everyone's conversion story was so over the top. I myself have been in the church my entire life. And yet people have told me that that very fact can bring people to Christ. And yet I still had to experience Christ for myself as well. And throughout my high school years, I really had the opportunity to question and challenge my own faith, because now it all of a sudden it wasn't just something that I did because my parents said so. And I'm one of these people that I like to follow the rules. I'm not really a rule bender, so I do things because it makes other people feel good. But then I really had to choose for myself. And God brought into my life a religion teacher my senior year and a pastor that I was then baptized in a river in Belize, because I realized that there were some things in my life that just were not right. Mm. And from being on a mission trip and working with some fellow classmates, I made that decision, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm still learning. And I think that's another important thing, is that we're never going to be, as you mentioned before, the shepherd status. We are always fellow sheep. We are learning together what it means to walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm. So why is Juliana's testimony important? She was never a gang fighter. She's not been in prison, maybe except to visit someone, I don't know. Why is that? We've all got a testimony, right, of our relationship to the Good Shepherd. Yeah. Why is that testimony important today? Why did that testimony need to be heard? Because, what do you think?
Because it's hers and it's real. And there are people like her who need to follow the Shepherd.
Someone is going to hear that and go, that's me, right? I thought I had to, like, go out and, you know, do like a lot of terrible things and, you know, be involved.
Hit the bottom to be brought back to the top. Yeah. So many people, I have felt that way. And I know so many friends that they have these amazing testimonies like, whoa, this is so cool what God has done for your life. Do I have to do that too? Like, do I have to go off the deep end? And I've come to the realization that no, that's not true. God allows each of us to go through different situations in life so that we can then minister to others who are in similar situations.
Amen.
So Timothy, you just started laughing there as you heard this comment. You know, do I have to go through all of that so I have a testimony? What connected in your mind as you were hearing that?
I mean, I thought, you know, I used to think that also. I mean, I don't have a testimony like that, unfortunately, but something that makes me, that inspires me about that testimony is that you can stay in the Lord's church, in His fold, and still not feel the need to have to look outside for happiness.
Yes.
Or for all these other things that are attractive out in the world. You know, people make it seem as if you don't go outside of church, you've lived a very boring life. But if somebody has lived in the church all their whole life, and have not stepped outside, it shows that there's something inside the church that is good, that is substantial, that can keep me from needing something outside of the fold.
Sure. You know? Yeah, the Good Shepherd has been watching over, you. I'm wanting to move one further step in the last module here. We've all got a testimony. That's probably our most powerful witnessing tool, right? Mm-hmm. To invite people to follow, say, here's what God's done for me, or let me show you where Jesus is, wiggle my tail, right? And move towards him. Yeah. Would someone like to share an opportunity you had to help lead someone to Jesus that just blessed your life? You're just a sheep too, Niara, right?
Yes.
But tell me that story and how your life was blessed, because this community outreach strategy of Jesus is, yes, to meet needs and earn confidence, but it's also to say, let me tell you about a Savior who loves you and wants you to be with him forever.
Basically, it was an outreach that I didn't even know I did an outreach. I'm not a great singer, by the way, but I had to sing at a church. And after I finished singing, somebody came to me and said, look, this person really loved the music. I'm like, okay, God bless you. But after three years has passed, and the lady from the church, she came to me. She said, you know, remember the lady who came to you and said, look, I love the song that you sang? I'm like, yeah, yeah. She's like, well, guess what? She believed in Christ. She started going to the church. She brought all her family. All of them are baptized. I was like, really? I didn't even know. 3 years had passed, you know?
Do you remember the song you sang?
Yes, I remember.
What was it?
Well, it was in Portuguese.
Yeah, and what was it about? Do you remember?
To revive the church. The church, we are the church, so we can be revived. Mm.
Mm. Our lesson.
Yeah, right. I remember I was a young man working in Denmark during the summer. And we were doing some music, and a young lady came up and said, it was during that song I decided to give my heart to Jesus. Wow. We don't know, do we? But we do have a testimony to give, and we have different talents. Maybe some of us, if we sang, it would clear the hall, you know? But God wants us to use the gift we have. Is that right, yeah. Andrea?
I'm just trying to share a story where I was struggling with, how can I share Christ in a city where I'm traveling, I'm commuting back and forth from the campus to where I was living. And I was taking the bus every day. The bus ride was about an hour. And I was thinking, I'm a very introverted person. I don't really talk to the people on the bus, but Lord, if you want to use me, I'm going to read my Bible. That's the extent to which I'm going to go. And if anyone wants to engage in a conversation, I will do that. So every day, whether I was tired or not, I had my pocket Bible and I was reading. And a few months passed, and one day I was shopping at a nearby store, and a gentleman asked me about something I was buying. And then I answered, and he asked, are you the young lady who is reading her Bible on the bus? He said, that's probably me. And then another person started to ask what I was reading another day. And so we had a good conversation. And during the last week, probably, or second to last week of my college experience, a young lady was reading a book. I didn't realize what she was reading until she started to talk to me, and she told me, I'm reading my Quran, but I notice you're reading your Bible. Can you tell me where I can find the Bible? Where is the Christian bookstore where I may purchase the Bible?
Amen.
And I was thinking to myself, I answered to her, unfortunately, I'm not from this city. I'm just studying here. But you probably could inquire from someone else. And then all kinds of thoughts went through my mind. I really loved that Bible because I underlined it.
I was hoping you'd give it to her.
Many months to underline it. And I was approaching to the last station, and I knew I was going to get off. She was going to get off there, too. So she stood up, and I stood up. and I gave her my Bible. And she said, oh, thank you so much. And she gave me her Quran. Wow. So wow. We had an exchange there. And I just that prayed beautiful? That the Lord would
so awesome.
Inspire her.
Now, the extroverts listening to the just sit quiet and read your Bible say, you're supposed to do something else. You're supposed to walk up and hand literature. And the answer is...
God
what?
Uses
what is the answer?
With our talents, yeah. with
yeah.
our abilities.
Be who you are.
Yes.
And be the lamb or the sheep that Jesus is calling you to be.
Amen.
Follow him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And your witness is so powerful. I have one last question. And it's how can our churches be warm places so that when the lambs come or the sheep come, they feel welcome? Because we all hear sad stories where there's like barbed wire and electric fences. And, you know, you talked in one story, how do I open the way, Nathan, so that when the lambs and the sheep come, that they're welcome because it's not our fault. It's the Good Shepherd's fault.
You know, I as you asked the question, the thought came to me. I've read before that a church's spirituality rarely raises above the level that the pastor sets. That's a high calling for a pastor, but there will be some members who go beyond that, but many don't. So you ask the question, how can the church do that?
Be kind of warm and accepting sheepfold.
I would say one of the things you have to do is pray for your pastor.
Okay.
Pray for your pastor to set a tone so that, because when your pastor's shepherding his flock and they're connected to Jesus, it's going to happen.
So pray for the under shepherd, as Peter calls himself. And if you see that it's not really happening, Juliana, there's still something you can do. What is it?
Well,
you're a sheep too.
Yeah.
Right?
What would make me feel comfortable if I was someone coming in new somewhere? What would I want? And then have that happen in my church.
So if I love the Good Shepherd and I'm a sheep and I see a sheep that's coming in but doesn't look like he or she's being welcomed, I can
go and
I can run
them.
Over. And wiggle my tail and say, I'm happy
Welcome
to see you.
Myself.
Let me share a few other friendly sheep because we're all on a journey, aren't we?
Yes.
And we're out of time, but you can be that kind of lamb. Even a lamb can be a welcoming committee, committee of one. God can use you to make a difference. Invite people. Say, I've come to know the Good Shepherd. Come meet him. He can change your life. Let's pray that we can be the welcoming committee for all of those lost sheep coming home. Yeah. Oh, Lord, make us, by your grace, the little lambs and sheep who welcome the lost sheep coming home. May we love the Good Shepherd so much that we cannot contain our joy. And we will pray that you would bless others through us, and we know we'll be blessed too. And we thank you in the name of the Good Shepherd Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there's little lambs and sheep coming home. Wag your tail, invite them. And tell them about the Good Shepherd who loves them.